Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you sang movingly. You sang movingly. And I believe that is also a token or an evidence of what the Word of God does in our hearts and lives. And especially when we sang this last song, I could sense the congregation rising, as it were, in praise to the Lord God, because isn't this really what it is all about as we have celebrated the Lord's Supper? That we then also learn, each one of us, to magnify the Lord. Now, we do not need to be a learned person. We do not need to have high IQs in order to speak well of the Lord our God. Mary was a simple girl from the backwaters of Galilee. But what she had to say about the Lord God was not only worth to be put into word, but it was worth also to put into song, into verse, so that it could be sung. And this is the great thing that we may say, therefore, when we have experienced something of the greatness of the Lord our God, our heart begins to flow forth in song. I could sense something of that even as you were singing, and I praise God for it. I want to consider with you this hour the words that we find here in verse 53 of Luke chapter 1. Where Mary sings the following: He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. I want to speak about this in the following way. Mary sings and prophesies about the Lord God, her Savior. The first thing we want to consider, being filled by Him. And then secondly, something about being sent away by Him. So first then, something about being filled by Him. Now, congregation, it must have been a touching moment when young Mary greeted Elizabeth. Both women were expecting their first child. Elizabeth was most likely well into her 6 months, and Mary right at the very beginning of her pregnancy. But when they met each other, both women broke out in song. Elizabeth is the first to sing her praises, and hers is a wonderful song of love towards Mary and towards the child that she is carrying. And then it becomes Mary's turn. And what we get to hear from Mary is truly profound, even more profound than what we can hear from Elizabeth. Mary sings about what the Lord has done for her and what the Lord has done to her, you see. Something very similar of what the psalmist once says, come, let me tell you what the Lord has done to my soul. And so what we hear from Mary is a profound profession of her life of faith in God. We hear something about her background, her low estate, and her position as a maidservant. But along with this, we also get to hear something about the mighty deeds of God. Something about the greatness of His mercy. Something about the strength of His almighty powers. Something of the supremacy of His will and of His good pleasure. Mary sings from the fullness of her heart. Now, dear brother and sister in the Lord, what can we hear from you about the Lord's dealings with you personally? What can we hear from you? What good things has the Lord not done to you? What good things has the Lord not done for you? And can we hear something of that as well in the days and the months to come? Sure, it's a good thing to sing like Elizabeth about love to the Lord and love for God. And that's certainly a wonderful thing if we are able to sing that sort of thing. But should we not hear just a bit more than that from you as well? Something like what we hear from Mary here. Something about what the Lord has done for you and what the Lord has done to you. In a spiritual sense, therefore, where have you come from? And where are you now? And where will you be going from here? Can you convey that in words and in song? And so you see, this is what the Lord God calls us to also after coming away from the table of the Lord. And so I would ask you, as an application to the message already, can you confess your background? And are you prepared to hear or to let us hear your joy in this gracious and mighty deed that the Lord has done to you personally? It's not unreasonable of the Lord to ask this of you, is it? Especially if you've been at the table of the Lord, that you can witness what He has done for you. You see, we can so easily hide behind our excuses and say, well, you know, these are matters that are private. Don't prod into that sort of thing. They're private. But isn't it true that when the heart is full, the mouth flows over? Listen to Mary. We know her to be a modest girl. We know her to be a humble young woman. Nevertheless, at the same time, we hear lofty things from her. Lofty enough to sing about. Mary, you see, was full of the Lord. And are we not to be full of the Lord as well? When we first confessed our faith, and perhaps for some of us, we have to go back 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 years ago. Do you remember yet when we first confessed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember yet the first time when we experienced that first love and when we became conscious of the fact that the Lord has done a powerful work in our heart and in our life? Weren't we full of Christ then? When the Holy Spirit first revealed to us His mighty power in us, and when we realized with great joy that our sins were forgiven, couldn't we sing of it then? Do we not also have reason to sing even today with Mary? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, and some people have wondered why Mary up and went so suddenly to see her cousin Elizabeth. Well, no doubt one of the reasons is that, well, she was very eager to speak to someone who would be willing to listen to her, someone who would be willing to hear something about the Lord's dealings with her. And it would have been rather difficult for her to speak to anyone in that particular village of Nazareth where she lived at that time, because Nazareth and the people there, they weren't open to that sort of thing. And so we read that Mary went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah to see her cousin Elizabeth. Mary was full of the Lord, and she would have burst, so to speak, if she couldn't share the things of the Lord with others. And so this is certainly one of the reasons why she went to Elizabeth. She wanted to share the blessings that she has found on how richly God has dealt with her, even as we have been able to sing it a few moments ago. You see, this is also what the Spirit wants to work in us, in you and me as well. He wants to turn us into testifiers, into confessors, yes, even into singers of God's mighty deeds. See, this is what happens when hungry people have come to the table of the Lord. And this is why Mary can sing here in our text verse, He has filled the hungry with good things. You see, we start out, don't we, as a hungry people, hungry for the confirmation of the Word of God, hungry for increase of faith, hungry for more love to God and for more love towards our neighbor, hungry for more and more of Christ and of His loving communion. We're hungry for that. And this is the sort of hunger that the Lord is well prepared to satisfy us with, because He fills the hungry with good things. And so, dear brothers and sisters, if you've come hungry to the Lord, you may expect to be filled. You may expect to be filled. And so it is with coming to the table of the Lord. If you came hungry, then you may also expect to be filled with good things. And if so, then invariably you will want to share this with someone, or even sing about it as to what you are full of. Now, it has been said at times that we Reformed people run the danger of what is sometimes called dead orthodoxy, of knowing it so well with our heads. I mean, after all, we know all the doctrines. We know our traditions, and we maintain our traditions well, even with a measure of rigor. But that could also be the case, even though our hearts can remain cold and our emotions dull and passive. I pray that this need not be said of any of us here, however. And yes, let us know our doctrines very well. And let us also maintain those traditions that honor our God. But also let our hearts be on fire, dear people. And let our emotions be stirred at the same time to want to share those spiritual fillings with others. And it all begins with being hungry. As Jesus once said in Matthew 5 verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, how are we filled? Well, we are filled when we read the Word of God, that is the Bible. We are filled when we are under the preaching of the Word. We are filled when we come to the administration or the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And then you might ask, well, what are we filled with then? Well, we are filled with good things. And the word used there has a range of meanings, really. Because good, it means good, kind, excellent, pleasant. It is a word, in fact, that describes the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so, what good things are they then that the Lord is pleased to fill us with? Well, perhaps you are hungry for some comfort. You are hungry for some assurance for your weak and feeble faith. Perhaps you are hungry to know that your sins are forgiven you. Perhaps you are hungry for the strengthening of your faith, for the deepening of your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you are hungry for a greater commitment in His service. Or you are hungry for more encouragement as you serve the Lord God. You are hungry for hope. You are hungry for steadfastness in the faith, whatever it might be. But you are a hungry person. And if you have come to the Lord's table hungry for those things, dear people, it makes for a better Christian, doesn't it? Because then the Lord is pleased to fill you. In fact, I may even say that filling you is His greatest desire. If you've come to Him hungry, He will not send you away empty. Do you know who God, the Lord, sends away empty? Let's consider that in the second place. Being sent away by Him. Mary expresses in her song not only that God fills the hungry with good things, but also, as you see in the last part of our text verse, and the rich He has sent away empty. Now, the word rich here, we have to understand what it means. It has the meaning of being self-sufficient, of those who are full of themselves, of those who think they have it all together, of those who think that they have no need whatsoever of anything or of anyone. In fact, it's the same word that the Lord Jesus Christ used to describe some of the church members in the church of Laodicea. When we read, for instance, in Revelation 3 and 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, it is such people that the Lord sends away empty. Well, now let us examine ourselves for a moment. And truly, it is not only self-examination prior to coming to the Lord's table, but it's also self-examination after the Lord's table. Let us examine ourselves for a moment. How is it with you now that you have been able to celebrate the Lord's Supper? Has it done anything for you? Has it done anything for you? Or must you perhaps confess, you know, it hasn't really done anything for me at all. Well, then I ask, well, what could possibly be the reason for you still to feel empty? What is the reason for you still being spiritually cold? What is the reason for your lack of enthusiasm, if that happens to be the case? Could it be that you have not examined yourself in preparation for the celebration of the Lord's Supper this past week? Could it be that you have actually come still full of yourself? Have you perhaps come to the table of the Lord as this rich young ruler once came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who boasted that he has kept all of those things, all the law of Moses? When he says to the Lord Jesus, all these things I've kept from my youth, what do I lack yet? Have you perhaps come to the table of the Lord in the spirit and in the frame of self-contentment? You've checked your knowledge of the Word of God and of doctrine. Yeah, it looks good. Your faith, check mark. Your moral behavior, check mark. Your good deeds, check mark. Your offerings, check mark. And so on. Perhaps you felt yourself quite suitable to celebrate the Lord's Supper. In fact, you think that perhaps, or no doubt, the Lord should be happy to have someone like you come to the table of the Lord. Well, perhaps I'm putting it somewhat bluntly. But I do it for a purpose, so that you understand what the message of the gospel is about. But could it be any of those reasons, perhaps, that you have come away from the table of the Lord empty, unchanged? It means that the Lord has sent you away empty. You see, dear people, God requires of us that we always repent of the sin of being rich in ourselves. As I heard early this morning, when it really comes down to it, we're all miserable sinners. And that's how we have to come to the Lord God. We cannot come to Him rich in ourselves. And that may be a tough route to go, but it is a necessary route. And dear people, I may also declare that God does not desire to send any of us away empty. It is not His desire that you leave His presence with nothing to show for it. It is not His desire at all that you come away from the table of the Lord with nothing to speak of and with nothing to sing about. It's not His desire that you leave this church building the same way that you entered into it. It gives Him no delight to send you away empty. Now Mary sang this song that we have recorded here in our text, not only as an expression of her feelings and of her emotions, but also as a prophecy of how God would deal with His people in the future, and of how God would deal with His people even this day. Mary prophesied that God would fill the hungry with good things, and that God would send away the rich empty. And this prophecy is therefore good instructions for you and for me today as well. And therefore, again, let us carefully examine ourselves. What might still be amiss with us after the Lord's Supper celebration, if it hasn't done anything for us? Let it lead us to renewed repentance and to renewed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now just think of it. The Lord Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper, and that with the best intentions. It was His desire, after all, to have this meal with us. He wanted to feed and He wanted to nourish you with Himself. And He has, as it were, given Himself again to you in the bread and in the wine. He has kept nothing back from you, has He? His sacrifice, once for all, stands as guarantee that your sins are forgiven, and that you may have peace with God. He has given you, moreover, His Holy Spirit, so that you would know what it is to have Christ and His Spirit living in you. He has given you His Holy Spirit to make known to you that you will never die in your sin, but that you will live in Christ. And His Holy Spirit also now, presently, is keeping your conscience alive and stirs your hunger for Him. His Holy Spirit keeps your love for Him intact. And so we can say, yes, indeed, Mary's prophecy is true. God does fill the hungry with good things. Well then, isn't it time that you too, with Mary, begin to express what God the Lord has done for you and what He has done in you? Isn't it time to express something of the greatness of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Isn't it time, dear brothers and sisters, to sing along with Mary as well? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. This, you see, this is how God desires to send you away, also this hour. Not empty, but full. Boys and girls, young people, you have been patiently listening to the preaching of the Word. You've been patient in observing the celebration of the sacrament for three tables this morning and one this afternoon. I want to thank you. And I want to thank the Lord above all for keeping you with us also today. You know, I read time and time again reports of various churches that the young people are leaving the church for something more exciting, as they say. I hope and pray that this congregation will never have to give that sort of a report about you. It's good to see you here. And I hope and pray also that you see something exciting about the Lord's celebration at the table of the Lord. Enough also to want you to want to sing as Mary once did. And again, boys and girls, young people, God wants you to come away from this worship service today hungry. Hungry for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hungry for salvation. God, the Holy Spirit, as it were, wants to send all of us away from this worship service today. And it may sound strange for me to say this, but He wants to send all of us away hungry yet full. Full of desires for the Lord Jesus Christ. Full of Him. Full of good things. And this is what will fulfill His desires. This is what will bring Him praise. And as Mary has once learned to sing this song, let us therefore also learn to sing it as well. Of good things. Good, kind, excellent, pleasant things. Of everything that Jesus Christ Himself stands for. And so as we go home tonight, I ask you, young people, will you speak to your parents about this? Parents, especially you who have been at the table of the Lord today, will you speak to your children, to your young people about this? And perhaps you may even want to do some singing to the praise of God. Amen.